You can't sort of buy it, drive it to Darwin and back and go, you know what, it's a bit of a rattle, I don't like it, I want another one. And you've just put, you know, if you put 6,000 kilometres on it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next event on the card is a heavyweight marketing bout for the small to medium business owner. In the red corner, from Paradise, Australia, is David. And in the blue corner, from an English paradise, is David.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of David versus David, the podcast for the small business owner to help you find out more about marketing, advertising, internet marketing, all the stuff that goes with that, and to help you provide you with a friendly voice, really, somewhere that you can turn to for advice, find out what other people do, what other problems exist, what other people do with the same sort of problems that you have. So here I am, David Pritchard, in the UK, and down in Tasmania we have David Council. Hello, David.
Hey, mate. I'm really good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Thank you very much indeed. It's another nice week over here. Well, actually, that's a bit of a lie. It's been a mixture of gorgeous weather one day and crappy weather the next day, but that's the way it rolls in the UK autumn. So what about yourself? You out on the barbecue? Yeah, usual thing, out on the deck?
Four seasons in one day at the moment.
Because Tasmania is quite a long way down south, actually, isn't it? It's the bottom end of Australia, so...
Yeah, I think it's... Yeah, it's like 42 degrees south, so... It's a long way south.
Yeah.
We're down in the roaring 40s, you know, it's when it's windy, it's windy. I think it's been so windy lately that the barbecue would have blown out had I fired it up this week.
Oh, well, let's hope for better for you. You're coming into your springtime and we're heading into our autumn and the winter, so we're diametrically opposite times of the year here, as well as poles of the world, obviously. So, look, we were... We spent the last few weeks, we've been doing quite a lot on the nuts and bolts of internet marketing, the actual website kind of mechanics and so on. And we've done a lot on keyword research and SEO and content and list building and all that kind of thing. And we were just chatting before the call about taking it a little bit further out, going a change of direction. And you said, why don't we just advertising and in particular, conquest adverts? That struck me as very interesting, and a term that I must admit, because most of my background is SEO and keyword research and website stuff, I guess, and the term conquest adverts was something I hadn't come across before. So, David, tell us, what is a conquest ad?
I think of advertising in terms of two things, conquest advertising and relationship advertising. When I think of the word conquest advertising, I think of Elmer Fudd. He's in his hunting gear, and he's hunting wabbits, because you're out there and you're looking. You know, your head's darting around, your eyes are flicking around, you're looking for the next person that you're going to make a sale to. And that's what conquest marketing is all about. It's always hunting for a new customer. That's a type of marketing that can be very, very energy consuming. Okay. It can consume a lot of your time, and it can consume a large amount of the money in your wallet if you're not doing it the right way.
So this is the old adage is about existing customers being the most productive ones to work with, because they're already your customer, the old 80-20 rule. And there's a terminology in sales called the hunter versus the farmer. So you're talking conquest adverts are more the hunter type, gathering new customers in, versus the farmer, which is making the most of the seeds you've already sowed and reaping the rewards that you've already sort of started to establish anyway. Is that about right?
Absolutely. And it's a balance, because you can't have relationship marketing if you haven't done conquest marketing, because you can't nurture that relationship with someone if you haven't hunted them out, sought them out, you know, identified them as being a good customer for your business. And once you've done that, once you've established that they're a good customer for your business, then you've got to nurture the relationship. You've got to have a picture of how much will that person spend with your business over a lifetime.
Okay.
Now, a lifetime could be 6 weeks. It could be 60 years. It really depends on the type of product that you're selling and whether that product will remain relevant to that customer over a very long period of time. So if you're selling loaves of bread, then chances are you've got a very big lifetime with that customer that you're going to spend. If you're selling thermometers to mums with small kids, then you know you might only sell them one, maybe two in a lifetime. So then you've got to look at the other products that you've got and your opportunity to either sell them other products, or you need to have a balance of advertising where your conquest marketing is the majority of what you do and the relationship marketing is a very small part because you're only going to make one more sale to that person.
Yeah, okay.
That's really important. The balance is really important.
Okay. So in terms of conquest advertising then, what are the steps involved in undertaking that?
Well, you've got to once again identify who it is that you're looking for. So if you're looking for a new customer to add to your business, the first thing you've got to do is work out, do you have capacity to serve that customer properly? Because there's no point in finding that new customer and getting ready to move into relationship mode if you don't have capacity to look after that customer for a long period of time. Now, there are businesses that do this, and this is what's known as burning customers. Because you expend the exercise of gathering that client in. It's like you've done all of the hard work and you've brought them in, but because you can't expend extra time and energy to nurture and bring them on to make successive sales to them, you burn them. You basically take what you can and you run away. I'll tell you, it doesn't sound like a very good strategy to me.
I suppose it's fair to say that the very first moment of engagement with a customer, of developing a relationship with a customer, is the very moment that the conquest has succeeded.
Yes, that's right. And you know what? In the sales world, there are some people who are really good at conquest acquisition. You know, they acquire new customers really well, and they also tend to be the people that are really bad at nurturing and maintaining, because they are two very different skills when it comes to looking after a client.
Yeah, they certainly are, yeah.
There's another term that they call churn. And churn is how fast you turn those clients over from being conquested into your marketing cycle and bailing them out the other end because you don't want to deal with them anymore.
Right, yeah. That's the kind of thing that's pretty common in things like mobile phone companies and so on, with calling plans and stuff like that. You know, I guess you go and see a big brand on the high street or whatever and buy a phone with a plan for however long, and the company has done the work to get you in there with that conquest marketing and turn you into a customer, and then they should be engaging with you and maintaining the relationship with you as a customer, so that when your calling plan is due for renewal, you're going to be wanting to renew with them. Whereas it's pretty typical that at the end of that contract period, you know, people are pretty much hunting around and looking for whatever the best deal is, and churn rates of customers is something that's often quoted on the mobile phone company statistics, the number of customers they lose over that two-year period or whatever, and who go off to somewhere, some other competitor.
Yes. So what you should be doing is looking at how you can reduce your churn rate.
Yeah. So, and that's the engagement with the customer over whatever, as you were saying, whatever the period of time is. I mean, I think mobile companies and mobile phone contract plans and stuff is a pretty good example, actually, of both aspects really need to work in conjunction with each other. And I think that's something that's worth saying here, isn't it, that any sales organisation, well, any organisation that has sales element to it, and most do, conquest advertising and relationship engagement marketing, they work hand in hand. But you can have one without the other, but it's generally preferable to have both working together, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. You know someone else who has a high churn rate? That's banks.
Yeah.
And especially in the credit card area of it. I don't know about you, but I have a credit card, and my bank regularly sends me the bill with marketing information inside it, trying to encourage me to have another credit card and offering me all sorts of incentives to do it. The trouble is that incentive is actually only available to people who don't have a credit card. So, you know, there's something wrong with their marketing when they can't work out that if they're sending me a bill, they shouldn't be sending me the information that tells me that they want me to, you know, move my credit cards over to them when they've already got it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that causes burn, and that's the sort of thing that, you know, really pisses people off and makes them go and move to another bank, because clearly the bank's not engaged with their customer. You know, that's pretty basic, you know, sorting of your database to make sure that you don't place offers in front of people that are targeted to a group that's not that person.
Yeah, indeed. I'm interested in this conquest advertising and methods. You've got quite an extensive background in advertising, radio advertising, TV advertising, as well as online stuff. In terms of some of the main media, is conquest advertising also related to getting in front of the other competition? So trying to find places where competition are advertising and beat their own game, if you like.
I think conquest marketing is more about the message. Certainly the media is important, but just because your competitors are advertising there doesn't mean that it's the right place to advertise. Just going back to advertising fundamentals, you identify your customer, you know, who it is that you're trying to reach out to, so that new customer that you're trying to acquire. You write a message that is about talking specifically to that customer to get them to come and do business with you, and that will generally tell you where that marketing message should be placed. But if you're starting at the end where you go, oh, look, there's my competitor. They're in, you know, the yellow pages or they're on that television station or on that radio station. Perhaps I should be there. That's assuming that they're smarter than you are. And for the most part, your competitors aren't smarter than you are. In fact, to a large degree, a lot of your competitors are lazier than you are and may well have taken on a particular type of advertising because someone walked through their door and offered them a deal and they didn't think about it very deeply and just ran with it. You know, we've discussed before from a radio or a television point of view, making sure that the ads are placed into the time slots where your customers or your potential customers are in their greatest numbers. So instead of buying, you know, commercials that are spread across a time period or across a day, shooting a shotgun out there hoping that you're going to hit someone, you take a really, you know, telescopic rifle point of view and you aim only at those people. Well, you know, just because someone else is doing it doesn't mean it's right. I think we've all seen those phone directory ads where, you know, you're looking through a category and everybody seems to have the same thing. Now, to a certain extent, they're all really selling roughly the same sort of product. But why would you brand up your product and your services so that they look exactly the same as every one of your competitors? There's no, you know, point of difference. Yeah.
Yeah, no differentiation. Yeah, indeed. Okay then, David. So what are the most important elements to a conquest advertising marketing message?
I think the thing that you've got to have in any conquest marketing message, or really, I suppose, in any advertising that you do, is the benefit to the customer, because you're trying to acquire this person as a new customer. So you've got to be able to say the benefit of doing business with me and how I'm going to solve your problems is by doing this. So you're leaving the trail of breadcrumbs where you're trying to lead the customer to you being able to solve their problems. We've spoken about storytelling before, for example, whereby you take someone's problem, you exaggerate that problem so that you can highlight specific elements of it, and then you show how that your product, through its benefits, solves that problem. So in conquest marketing, it's really important that this person who's never done business with you before can listen or see or touch your message and go, oh, this is it. This will solve my problem so easily. Something that I've been agonizing over for a long period of time can go away just by doing this.
Okay.
So if you make it that easy, then it becomes a lay down misere. Because remember the buying cycle that people go through, the old AIDA, awareness, interest, desire, action. Okay. So they're already aware that they've got a problem. They may not be at the point where they're formulating how they can solve that problem. And that's where interest comes in. So intellectually, you're engaging them and showing them the benefits of your product and justifying how that will solve that problem for you. So they're intellectually ticking all the boxes, going, yep. And then desire, emotionally, you're forging a connection with them so that they respond and say, oh, these are the guys. I've got to talk to these guys. They understand me.
Yeah.
Right? So you've made that one-to-one connection and then you call them to action by telling them what you want them to do to make that next step.
Do you think with conquest advertising as opposed to relationship marketing, does the message have to be more pointed? Does it have to be a bit tougher?
It doesn't have to be.
Right, okay. I'm trying to say with like engagement marketing, does it have to be maybe with engagement marketing you can have a little bit of a cozier relationship type message, a little bit more warm and fuzzy, whereas maybe with a conquest type message you're trying to be a little bit harder on why somebody should come to you in the first place, whereas with engagement marketing hopefully they already know a little bit more about you.
Absolutely. See, with relationship marketing, because you've overcome that initial fear that anyone has in a transaction that, you know, maybe you're going to rip them off, or, you know, I don't know this person, so how can I trust them? You've got no relationship in a conquest marketing situation. So I think that it's not so much that it's got to be tougher, but it's got to be very clear how you're going to do what you're promising that you're doing. Whereas in a relationship marketing message, that has already been established. So what you're trying to do in a relationship marketing message is reinforce that previous experience and get that to be the trigger for the second transaction.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was no negative aspect to the previous transaction. Therefore, when you transact with us again, you know that it will happen the right way because we've got runs on the board.
Yeah.
Whereas in conquest marketing, it's not, hey, do it now, you know, $5.99, come in, we're here, we're open all weekend. you know, it's not yelling and screaming or slapping you in the face. It's saying to you, when you do this, we stand by our triple guarantee that says that no matter what, we will make sure that you get 100% satisfaction.
Yeah.
A guarantee is very important, in fact, when it comes to any advertising. But in conquest marketing, you know, it can take away a lot of doubt and anxiety for the buyer before the transaction takes place.
Trying to reduce the risk, I guess. I suppose conquest marketing is a good way of defining it. It might be that you are trying to give people a reason to come to you instead of the competition that they may already have been considering. I mean, you might be trying to step in there and take them away from the competition. They may already have a relationship with an existing competitor. Whereas with engagement marketing, you're giving them reasons to stay with you rather than bother to find out about the competition.
Absolutely. You know, here's an example for you. In the removalist trade, in some countries, they employ people who might have criminal records.
Okay.
Because they need, you know, big, brawny, you know, heavy lifting guys. And for a while there, a lot of them were, you know, ex-cons. And I saw one removalist company once advertise, and their point of difference, so that the whole way that they were taking this anxiety away from the customer who was worried about, you know, if I hire company A, you know, sure, they're going to move my stuff, but how much of it's going to go missing while the move is on?
Or who are they using? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they're, you know, these people are potentially ex-criminals. So right. In their ad, they said, we don't employ ex-criminals.
Okay.
Everybody else was depositioned by that statement by saying, you know, not only do we do this and we do this and we do this and we guarantee this, but we don't employ ex-criminals. And that was a great conquest.
That's a very clever message, because you're not actually stating that anybody else does employ criminals even. So, I mean, you're even running very clear and very clean of any potential libel suits or whatever. Just the fact you're stating that you don't is a point of differentiation that maybe actually nobody else does employ criminals either, actually. I mean, I know the example you gave, you said it's a tendency in that trade for that to happen. But you're just making a very nice, clean point that actually then becomes quite hard for anybody else to catch up with, because what can their message be? No, we don't either. But you're already there first, aren't you? They're trying to having to battle against something that you've created a potential. You found a potential pain point in people's imagination, whether it's founded or unfounded. You've given it a little agitation, and then you provided the solution, which is just brilliant.
Yeah, there's a number of elements at play here. They're playing up on the fear that the customer has. They're also, like you said, putting aside anybody's opportunity to do Me Too marketing.
Yeah.
And, you know, in this day and age, there's not that many criminals that are actually employed when it comes to this particular industry for exactly that reason. This particular business in that market depositioned everybody else.
Yeah.
So there was a huge turnover of, you know, the people that came to remove your furniture. In another example, with milk, there's an additive that some milk companies add to their milk, which basically stabilizes the milk and it bulks it out. So it's not necessarily 100% milk. Now, I don't know how much of this particular chemical that they put in there. It might be, you know, like a drop, but there's a milk company that in this country was advertising fairly recently, and they were saying that in their milk, there is none of that chemical that bulks it out. When you buy their milk, what you get is 100% milk. Great destabilization of everybody else, because they're just saying, we don't do it. You know, some milk companies do have this chemical and it does this, but when you buy our milk, it's 100% milk.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, everybody else was destabilized. And what a great way to conquest something where, you know, people are branded in to a favorite brand of milk all of a sudden there's this doubt because we're all so worried about what we put in our bodies that they go, ooh, maybe I should give that other milk a try because I don't want to be drinking something that's got this chemical in it that's just bulking out. Fantastic, you know, way of conquest marketing without having to, you know, say something about directly about any one competitor.
Yeah.
You know, the person that was putting the chemical into their milk might have been like a fifth or sixth place in the milk market. It might not have been the number one. And I can assure you that the people who are advertising this in their milk product weren't in the number one position.
Right.
I think they were more likely to be in the number two or the number three position, but they depositioned the number one milk.
Yeah, very good.
Very clever.
Are there any other sort of markets maybe got any examples of? Is anything like, say, the automotive market, you know, car dealerships or anything like that that might give another good example?
Well, the triple guarantee that I mentioned before is actually from a client of ours that offers a triple guarantee on all of the mechanical work that he does.
Okay.
Because most mechanics these days offer a guarantee on parts and labour. So he went, well, I don't offer a guarantee just on parts or just on labour. I offer this third thing that basically said, you know, if you're not 100% happy with the job that we've done, we will continue to work on your car until you are.
Okay.
So if you take it away and it's not 100% right and you come back and go, it's still making that ticking noise, doesn't matter. He picks it up, he goes back in and he fixes it.
Right. Okay.
So once again, taking away that risk that something could go wrong. And it's a great way to get into a different market and conquest new people by saying, you know what, we're different from every other mechanic because we offer this bigger guarantee of your satisfaction.
Yeah, indeed. Hey, do you know, that's coincidentally, that's very topical because for me anyway, because my own car, I had somebody reversed into me about 3 years ago and there was a dent in the door and the back wing. The choice at the time was to send it off to the insurer's own repair yard, you know, their preferred one, probably because it's the cheapest for them, or you're allowed to send it where you like. So I sent it off to the main dealer because it was the other guy's fault, so I wasn't paying for it. And insured, you know, which basically gave me the reassurance that, you know, it was a relatively nice car, relatively new, it was only like 4 years old or something. And I wanted the main dealership to do it for whatever reason. Now, their guarantee was for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years or whatever, you know, guaranteed parts, guaranteed the labour, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But you've got the nice warm fuzzy feeling that, you know, at least they ought to be the right guys to go to. And lo and behold, 3 and a bit years down the line, there was just over the wheel arch part, the top layer of paint was peeling. There was like some lacquer coming off. It wasn't looking like it should do. Took it back. I thought, you know, this is going to be 3.5 years. They're going to be, you know. Anyway, I went to the end. I said, no, sir, that's absolutely fine. Although, you know, we've changed the body shop we use, but they should still do it for us. Anyway, and it all went like absolute clockwork. You know, they arrived yesterday. They took my car away in a pickup trailer, so they didn't even have the thought of somebody else driving my car 30 miles to the body shop, pick it up on a trailer, left me with a courtesy car. They'll come back at the end of the week. While we're talking, I've just received a text message from them to say that the work is underway and they'll let me know when it's going to be completed. It's all the things that get you in the first place, that this removal of that fear, uncertainty, doubt. You know who you're dealing with. You know that the chances are, if anything goes wrong, you're going to get a better response, and so on and so on. As you say, fear, uncertainty, doubt, if you can remove it from your own business so that people will trust and want to deal with you, and if you can instill it in their views and thoughts about what the competition might be, that's a fantastic way to just move forward, really. So remove fear, uncertainty, doubt from your own offering and implicitly put it there against other people's offerings, as we've just been discussing the last 10, 15 minutes maybe.
I've got another example for you, one that goes from being a conquest marketing tool that actually starts the customer on the road to relationship marketing. And this is really clever. It's one of our automotive clients. Again, it's a car company and it's for used cars. Now, there's always a guarantee when you buy a used car from a dealership in this country. Usually it's 3 years or 175,000 kilometres. This particular company, the guarantee is a 7-day return policy. If you bring that car back within 7 days because you're unhappy with it, they will exchange it for another car of equal value on their lot.
Wow.
And that means that if you get buyer's remorse, you can swap it for another car. So, I don't know, you might have bought a you know, a Ford Focus, mm-hmm. and you brought it back because you were unhappy, and they give you a similar valued Toyota Corolla, and you leave with that and you're much happier, then how good's the relationship that you've got already with that business? You know, they've moved you from conquest to relationship in one move.
Yeah, absolutely.
And no other car dealer does it.
And that's probably going to be your first port of call when you go back in 2 or 3 years' time, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Because you know what? They ring up and they ask.
Yeah.
You know, are you happy with that car? You know, is it doing what you thought it would do? You know, there are some criteria that go with it. If you put more than, you know, 500 Ks on it in the first week, then you're outside of the, you know, the criteria. Yeah. You can't sort of buy it, drive it to Darwin and back and go, you know what? It's a bit of a rattle. I don't like it. I want another one. And you've just put, you know, if you put 6,000 kilometres on it. Yeah, you know, there are obvious criteria, but that's a great marketing feature that moves people from conquest marketing into relationship marketing at the time when they're acquiring you as a new customer.
Yeah, indeed. Absolutely. Okay, David, I think that was a pretty good coverage of the two types there and how they interact and what people should be thinking about. Some fantastic examples. I love the one about the removals, guys. That was super. We've come up to over the half-hour mark or so. Should we say goodbye to our listeners and think about what we're going to chat about next week?
Absolutely. I also want to just say thank you to a new listener, Tom Davidson. Thanks for coming on board, Tom. I saw you come onto our Facebook page this week, and I just wanted to, as I always do, say thanks very much. It's good to see you. Don't forget, if you like us, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. We love the old 5 stars. Don't forget to also like us on Facebook. We love Facebook. And if you've got any questions, send us an email through the website or send us a question on the Facebook page. We would love to answer any question that you have.
Indeed. So
I suppose I should say what the address of the Facebook page is, shouldn't I?
Go on then.
It's, strangely enough, it's David versus David. And don't forget the webpage, davidversusdavid.com.
Lovely. Okay, David. So until next week, it's going to be goodbye from me up here in the UK and goodbye from you down there in sunny Tasmania.
Goodbye from paradise.
Okay, take care, mate. See you next week.
Bye.
You have just been listening to the David versus David podcast with David Pritchard and David Council, helping you get knockout results with your online marketing and advertising. Please keep in mind that the ideas, opinions, and information shared in the show are those of the hosts and do not reflect those of their past employers.